You're listening to the Cinemaniacs, episode number 40. Big Ruby anniversary day.
4-0, baby.
For November 1st, 2008. It's Saturday night. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees. Okay, you grin fart, you bunch of fucking monkeys. Pretty pictures, say what you're. Should we be changing the theme song after a while?
Eventually.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to the Cinemaniacs, your weekly podcast. We talk about movie news, reviews, and whatever else we choose. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff.
Hola.
To my right is my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hey now.
Right on. Cool. Little Hank Kingsley, love it.
Yeah.
There you go.
On this week's show, we're going to be talking about the new Kevin Smith movie, Zack and Miri Make a Porno, as well as The Fall. A little independent flick that I forgot to see if it won any awards. It came out this past year.
Nope. Didn't win nothing.
Nope. And all the above, right?
Oh. I'm sorry. It won the Sitges Catalonian International Film Festival Best Film Award.
That's somewhere in India.
Okie dokie.
Is that right?
I don't know. Guess I better get educated
in
on
Spain.
It. Oh, well, that explains it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Festival, specialized competitive festival, which focuses on fantasy films.
Mm. Yeah, it was okay. Pretty fantasy-ish.
Yes, it was.
Yep. Well, we'll get to that.
Pause for the news break.
We take you now to Kermit the Frog with another fast-breaking news story.
That sounded like the Muppet movie.
That was the Muppet theme.
That was the Kermit. No, it was the Kermit the Frog news theme.
You know we use that, right?
Is that what we use?
You suck.
Said suck.
You should have heard him after we like had to abort that whole half a podcast because the sound was messed up. Cock motherfucker. It was great.
That wasn't me.
Oh yeah, it was you. No, I don't think so. It was beautiful.
I bet there was a doggone in there.
No.
Doggone it.
It wasn't doggone cocksucker, motherfucker.
Well, the first thing that we should do is put out a disclaimer that some parts of this episode, hopefully just early on, will be a little distorted. I don't think it's incomprehensible. But in the glory of Windows Vista, had some audio technical difficulties.
That's right. It happens. It happens.
It happens to the best of us, but...
And we're not even the best of us, so you know it's going to happen.
We prefer to leave the spontaneity of the show intact rather than try to go back and repeat what we already said.
Exactly. That and we're incredibly lazy. Okay, well, I'm incredibly lazy.
That may have something to do with it.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I know the editor of the show can only spend so much time on... editing.
Yeah, he's got responsibilities. Anyway.
So, if you hear those things, just bear with us. It only lasts for a little bit. And
there's nothing
and then
we'll
come back to just the beautiful sound of our voice.
That's right.
Can't be any worse than cackling, right?
Okay. Spider-Man 3 was a little disappointing to some people. Right, but here. It was action-packed. It's a little bit of a letdown because Spider-Man 2 is well regarded as one of the best sequels of all time, not to mention one of the best superhero movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Although this year with Iron Man and Dark Knight, a lot of people be...
I would be. Yeah, you know, I'm one of them. Dark Knight, just
comparing that.
Wow. Anyway.
So we have Pulitzer Prize winner David Lindsay Abaire has been hired on to write the script for Spider-Man 4, and he plans on getting back to the characters rather than so much action, action, action. Mm. Although the characters will be the same because Sam Raimi is still on contract to direct.
Right.
Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
For some reason, his name just blanked out.
I thought he was going to say Toby Keith.
That would be pretty funny. That's too funny. Toby Keith is Spider-Man.
Yeehaw.
That's right. We're swinging on this here vine.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
What?
I'm just fucking with you. Let's go.
Tobey Maguire is still on there, and Kirsten Dunst.
All right.
So, no word yet on which the villain
what about Franco?
Is going to be.
Didn't he die?
Don't say anything about him. The ghost of Franco, though.
Yeah.
Did he die?
I don't know. I can't remember. I thought he died.
I thought he died, yeah.
I think he died.
No, he didn't die.
He didn't die?
No, he just got knocked out and he didn't remember being the Green Goblin anymore.
No.
Really?
No. At the end, he didn't die? Damn, we better watch that movie again.
I only saw it since, I haven't seen it since the theater.
Watch the last 5 minutes.
Could do that. Well, as long as we skip that insane dance number.
That was cool. What are you talking about?
Okay.
When he was wearing the black suit and everything? Yeah. Oh, that was great.
Dude, that was like a half hour before the ending.
Oh, it was painful.
I like that whole greasy hair goth look.
Yeah, it was so painful.
That was great.
Ugh, hated
what a trashy dude.
It's like in the earlier movie where they had raindrops keep falling on my head.
No, that I liked, but this, hated that part.
So you're saying they're going to focus more on character development?
Yes.
Or intense, I wouldn't say development, because they're already developed, right?
I was going to say, how much more can you develop these characters?
Well, that's what drives the comic books, is the story, you know, marriage and divorce and babies and...
How about depth? You know, we'll just call it that.
How about debt? You got to talk more about his debt and needing money and things.
He's going to pimp himself out.
So... You know, Spider-Man balances his budget in Spider-Man 4.
Dude, that's so relative to today's times.
Takes advantages of the new tax breaks under the Obama plan. Anyhow, I don't know. After 3, I'm just not as excited about 4. So...
But you'd go and see a Saw movie, wouldn't you?
Damn Skippy.
Hmm. All right,
they don't
then.
Fuck with the formula. They know what they're doing.
Hmm. That's right.
That's right.
All right.
They don't need no Pulitzer Prize winner. That's right, man. They just get in there and go, okay, this guy, we're going to chop him up with a guillotine. This guy right here, we're going to pull his arms off. This guy here, we're going to skin him alive.
Make hamburgers.
We got us a movie. You know, it's great. Love it.
In other news, we have Mark Millar, who wrote Wanted, the big blockbuster over this summer that we love so much. They have him talking about he wants to direct a trilogy of Superman movies if Bryan Singer will step away. And it talks about going back the whole one at a time, year after year, like the Lord of the Rings movies. So that's kind of an interesting idea. It goes back 1,000 years in time before Krypton ever blew up. And... carries a whole epic journey.
So would that be all about his dad then?
Well, before his dad was born, it just talked about Kryptonians and like their culture.
Well, then how would that even be a Superman movie? That would be like the Krypton movie.
The series would end with Superman being the last person left on Earth.
Oh.
Left on Earth?
Superman left on Earth.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So this is going to go through the death of 2 planets.
Right.
Interesting.
Yep. Yellow sun will start to turn red and turn supernova, and he loses his powers.
Cool thing about that is that guy would make he makes good action. Like, his action sequences are kick ass.
Right.
So that could be really cool.
Well, Mark Millar was the writer. He wrote the comic book. And he may have written the movie as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
He wasn't the director. That was Bryan Singer.
No, I know about the Superman movie.
Bryan Singer directed
Wanted?
No.
Who directed? He did the last Superman movie.
Right. I know that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, don't jab slap me.
I'm tempted.
Don't back slap me.
If I was going to slap you, I'd jab slap you. Anyway.
He says it's going to be like the Michael Corleone film in the Godfather movies. You know, where far-reaching. Entire story from beginning to end. You see where he starts, where it becomes.
And where he is.
And where it takes him. Yeah.
Interesting thought. I don't know if it'll ever get made, but it's an interesting idea.
Right, it would probably, unless they get Bryan Singer to step down, it's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, it might be. I mean, if he's got this interesting idea, it might be better served if he's the comic book artist. Make the comic book, you know, and then if that thing sells and becomes some kind of hot property, then the studios option it and go crazy or whatever.
Yep.
I don't know.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. What the hell is
Joaquin
that?
Joaquin Phoenix says he's not going to act anymore.
He's going to make music?
Focus on his music career. I mean, apparently he's already been doing that, of course, from the Walk Hard movie, the Johnny Cash thing. But he's also been producing some records and making some music videos.
Huh.
And now he's going to focus on his own music career.
Did you say he was in the Walk Hard movies?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. But I guess he wasn't.
Walk the line.
I think it was Walk the line.
Walk the line.
walking on something.
Yeah, that was Tom C. Reilly, who I hope is not retiring to make music.
I always thought it was John C. Reilly.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
We're really bad at this. 40 episodes in and we still suck this bad. That's great.
We're going to get some hate mail.
Oh, yeah. No, the hate mail. That was perfect. Oh. You could send that hate. That was great. Oh, you just caught me off guard. Yeah.
King of the Hill, they ordered 13 more episodes for the 2009 to 2010 season.
And that's it?
So far.
Yeah. If their track record with canceling cartoon series, you know, two of them have come back in some form or another. You know, Family Guy went right back to Fox, and Futurama's coming back. So, who knows?
Good. That's good to hear. Our first movie this week is The Fall.
Directed by a fellow with one name. He's kind of like Madonna in that sense.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Well, they said directed by Tarsem.
Tarsem.
Yeah.
His full name is Tarsem Singh.
Okay.
So he's Indian.
Right.
Tarsem Daly.
And this movie was released May 30th of this year. 2008, that is.
Ah.
And like we already said, directed by Tarsem Singh, who also directed The Cell. Which I've never seen.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot of the visual.
Yeah.
Well, they said that before I saw the movie, they said it was a lot like Cell, but not as dark.
Yeah.
It's vivid.
Yeah, very vivid, very colorful, but not the subject matter isn't nearly as bleak.
Yeah.
Well, it is still pretty bleak, but not as...
like gothic.
Not as graphic.
Yeah, gothic graphic, yeah.
Yeah,
that explains
a lot. Of nipple piercing and stuff.
I only saw parts of the Cell, and it was what I did see of it. It was like, wow. Might be a lot of Hellraiser, but with the lights on.
Yeah,
exactly. I never saw the Cell. Is it worth seeing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Just for some of
the visual.
Some of the visuals. The story isn't half bad. Got Vince Vaughn, Vincent D'Onofrio.
J-Lo.
Yeah, before she was J-Lo, when she was still Jennifer Lopez and actually acting and stuff, you know.
Back when she made good movies?
I think this would qualify as one. It's you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea. I liked it. It was a different, you know, it was definitely a different kind of movie. I mean, I'll tell you what, I mean, comparisons between this and that are valid. So, when we find out how you felt about this one, you'll know whether or not you should see The Cell.
Because you know what it reminded me of? This movie was a little bit of a Guillermo. You know, the whole fantasy kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. But well, definitely. It's not Spanish, so. But it did remind me of that.
Well, this was written by Dan Gilroy, who's the younger brother to Tony Gilroy, who we're quite fans of here.
He is related, huh? Oh, mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. And he's also written... he wrote that Two for the Money movie, Free Jack, and even Chasers.
Free Jack? Is that the one with
That was one with Emilio Estevez and
Anthony
Hopkins.
Mick Jagger?
Yes.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, man.
So he's been doing stuff for a while.
Right on.
This one's... And... So we start... This movie stars Katinka Untaru, which is her first movie. This is a young lady. She's 11 years old now. In the movie, she plays a 5-year-old.
Right.
And she has broken her arm, so she lives, this is set in about the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And her arm is in one of those casts that has your shoulder jetting out sideways.
Exactly, yeah.
And set on a prop. And she's in this Catholic hospital?
Probably, yeah. There's nuns and
because
priests.
Because the nuns are the nurses.
Right.
And there's priests running around, not necessarily the doctors, but.
Yeah.
And. She finds a guy who, not unbeknownst to the 5-year-old, had tried to kill himself, so he's there in the hospital.
Right.
And they just hit it off. He starts telling her stories, which then it becomes like the Wizard of Oz, because the doctor or the orderly, everybody that she knows in the hospital is part of this story.
Yeah, that's how, you know, this is how she's visualizing the story he's telling, assigning faces that she knows to these characters.
Mm-hmm. And then it also becomes like Pan's Labyrinth in that it's like this fantasy world.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you see Pan's Labyrinth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lisa and I both saw it and we loved it. And So we definitely see the comparisons in there.
Yeah.
Whereas a young girl and these fantasy stories being told.
I love Pan's Labyrinth. I thought that movie was great.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it was, Guillermo del Toro, he's awesome.
Great storytelling, great directing, great production.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
So?
The things I liked about it was how vivid the colors were.
Very colorful movie.
It was colorful. Made even more so by the Blu-ray, I think, which is really crisp and clear.
Yeah, it was definitely a good print. I liked once this reminded me of Mongol in a way that I loved some of the location shots that they found.
Yeah.
Because I thought those were great.
Yeah, where they took you to some of those places in India and
wherever it was shot. Yeah. I mean, just once again, places on the planet that you just didn't know could even, functionally exist. Like, look at that. You know, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They even made the hospital look good.
Oh, yeah, the hospital looked great.
Yeah.
When they were standing, like, they would have these characters, this little group of bandits that the story told, and they went to take the king. They all had a vengeance against the king. Odysseus? His name? Odysseus.
Yeah. Was it Mayor, Governor Odysseus or something?
Yeah.
Some kind of
governor.
Something like that.
And they would be, like, stranded on an island, and the visuals were, there's just solid, probably shot on a green screen or something, but it was just like the five characters there. And
yeah.
And you think about a little girl's imagination, how much more vivid theirs is compared to the rest of ours because we're all washed out.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing I noticed. That was the thing I noticed too. I mean, the reality of it was a bit more washed out, not nearly as colorful as the fantasy. I mean, but even the washed out non-fantasy stuff still it was beautifully shot.
It
looked great.
Oh, yeah. It had different filters on the camera, and you could tell that, like, a yellow look over some scenes.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really a beautiful movie. That's what stands out the most. But then the story was right there. I mean, I was along for the ride.
The story was fun. Yeah.
To me, it felt like it was trying to be something. It wasn't as... It was trying pretty hard. I liked the development of the relationship between the man and the girl, because you didn't know where it was going to go. You're getting a little paranoid, thinking, "Oh God, what's he doing with this kid?" And then, you know, ulterior motives and whatever. But it's not quite as grotesque as you want to think it is.
No, he's there's nothing untoward going.
Nothing like that. But you know, there's that element there that you get put in your head.
Right, you wonder if he's going to do something wrong. And
well, so not to her, but eventually it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
not to her.
We're kind of dancing around this and trying to, because we don't want to give it away. There's a central theme here that we don't want to give away. And,
right.
You know, that it's very appropriate to both stories. There's that.
Right.
What we're dancing around here without actually, what we're dancing around here is appropriate for both of the stories is what we're trying to get to.
I like their development and
their friendship. They develop a really they develop a friendship.
Yeah, it took a minute because it seemed like during the movie it was kind of trying a bit too hard for me, but other people might enjoy it a bit more than I
did.
So.
Trying to do what?
The whole story he was trying to tell, but in the end I got more of it, but it just is lacking for me.
Hmm?
I guess I expect too much though, so. But the colors are pretty. Pretty colors.
Yeah,
and I like the kid. The kid's great.
She was adorable. She was very cute.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Little chubby cheek thing. She was just
that heavy accent. Oh, what a sweetheart.
Yep.
And Jeff, you said that was a Romanian accent?
Well, first of all, yes, I was recognizing the Romanian accent. It was bugging me. I'm like, I swear that sounds Romanian. But then there's a scene where she's translating between the doctor and her mother says words that I know are Romanian. Mulțumesc and foarte bene, she's Romanian.
So
she was born in Bucharest.
Oh.
Bucharest. Yeah.
Are you taking Romanian classes?
I've got a book. A book and some recordings.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Going to be bilingual.
Going to try.
That's awesome, dude.
Is that similar to French?
It's a Romance language, so it has things in common with French and Spanish and Italian.
So that'd be like three languages that you know now?
I don't know French, man. I took it in high school and have forgotten just about all of it.
I don't know, man. You know more than we do.
That doesn't mean anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's handy dandy when you're pronouncing some of these movies.
Yeah.
So how do you pronounce The Fall?
That would be The Fall.
Oh my god.
Anyways, I think this movie is well worth seeing. I mean, the visuals aside, it had a good story, interesting story. If you liked Pan's Labyrinth, you like this movie too.
Yeah. Likeable characters, interesting dynamics between them. And once again, you know, character traits you see in the real story translate into the fantasy in an interesting way. Loved it.
I give it 4 stars.
Oh, yeah. Solid 4. Enthusiastic 4.
I like the music, the colors, the kid. I give it a 3.
I didn't even hear the music. You mentioned that before.
Yeah.
I like the music.
I wasn't really paying attention to the music.
A lot of classical.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they go into that whole the chant thing that was like chant stomp combo.
Oh, that was really cool. Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, ooh, how do I download
the mapping
that?
Scene or whatever it was. Yeah, that was awesome. That was
cool.
And I know there's some people that get turned off by watching movies in subtitles, which may prevent you from watching Pan's Labyrinth. Though this movie is not as great as Pan's Labyrinth.
No.
It is in English. So yeah. For you American English speaking people, there you go.
Yeah, it's great. See it. Especially on Blu-ray. Wow. Yeah, really, yeah, it's really stands out.
Well, this afternoon, we went to see Kevin Smith's new film, Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Been waiting on this one for a while.
Bow chicka wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Kevin Smith, we know from such movies as Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Jersey Girl, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Dogma, Clerks 2.
Dogma and Clerks 2.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention his interview evening with Kevin Smith.
Yep.
And you said we've been waiting for this movie for quite a while, and Kevin Smith, he talks on his podcast, Smodcast.
Smodcast, yeah.
And he's been bringing us along the whole length of the way with this, and so here it is, finally here. Starring Seth Rogen, who we know from so many movies that we've reviewed on this show, yeah. Not to mention Knocked Up or Pineapple Express.
40-year-old Virgin.
40-year-old Virgin, which the co-star, Elizabeth Banks, was also in.
Mm-hmm.
She's in W in the theaters right now.
Yep.
And then we had some cameos from Justin Long. Not Zach Braff.
Not Zach Braff. Yeah,
I'm learning
them. You actually got it right this time. I was waiting to see if you were going to pull.
I thought he was going to say Mac guy.
Yeah. I was waiting.
Justin Long, yes. Who we know best from the Mac commercials. Yes. He's been in tons of other stuff. And Brandon Routh, Superman.
Superman. Yeah.
And I didn't recognize him as Brandon Routh at first. I'm watching him and I'm like, that guy, he looks just like Clark Kent. And then you find out who he is. And you don't find out. You look at the credits. Well, you really just,
you know what the thing I noticed too when he was talking was, he really does sound like Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was talking. I was like, well, maybe he just tried to, you know, coach himself to sound. No, in this
the tone
movie,
of his voice.
He still sounded like Christopher Reeve.
And his little smirks and things, they were Clark Kent smirks. I mean,
oh my God.
That's why he was picked for that role.
Oh, yeah.
Like we just said, you know, if they get this next one, I mean, right now it's tentatively scheduled for 2011. But if they bring him back.
That'd be great.
That was one of the things that I did like about Superman Returns.
I liked him in it. I liked him in the role.
Him being Clark Kent.
I liked him in the role. I thought he was great. I liked him as Superman. You know?
So, this movie starts off with first off, I want to say that if you watch the trailer, you've seen this movie. The trailer gives away everything in this movie. There's nothing, no surprises, nothing. To watch the trailer, you can save yourself some time.
Hell, the title gives away the movie. Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're watching the movie and you say, okay, there's the part they had in the trailer, and they don't even add to it. There's nothing like... I mean, they just took full shots, full scenes, and put them in the trailer.
Hey, it got us there.
A bit disappointing there. Well, you want to go see a movie for more than what's in the trailer.
Well, there was more than what was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Not very much.
The movie was longer than 30. The movie was longer than 30 seconds, dude.
Well, maybe I watched a minute and a half trailer, and the movie might have been 3 minutes.
I don't know.
Except for the credits, which we'll get into here in a minute. Okay. So we have Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks, that is Zach and Miri. They're roommates. They've been friends since first grade.
Yep.
And they're not making a lot of money, just barely making the bills. Actually, that's what happens is they don't get the bills.
They aren't making the bills. Yeah.
Power gets shut off. Water gets shut off. Yep. Again, just like the show in the trailer.
Yep.
And they go to their high school reunion because, you know, just something to give them some entertainment.
Ten-year. Yeah.
Yeah, the 10-year high school reunion. So Justin Long, you run into him at the high school reunion. He's talking with Seth Rogen, and he tells him that he's a gay porn star.
Right.
And what Seth Rogen's okay with. But now, Justin Long, we know best from the Apple commercials.
Right.
The Mac versus PC thing. And I was very surprised he's doing this role. I wonder what Apple thinks about that. You remember because Dell had that little blonde-haired kid that got busted for
marijuana. Oh, yeah, dude, you're getting a Dell kid. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
You're getting a Dell.
Yeah, he had the pot busted. His ass was gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you said before, Apple's a progressive company.
Oh, yeah. Apple's a progressive company.
You're right. In fact, on their website, they even talk about some question on the ballot in California that's like pro-gay, right? It's like for...
What, gay marriage or something?
Gay marriage or something like
civil
that.
Civil union. And they use that term in this movie, too. I love that.
Speaking, you know, and back to Justin Long, small part, very effective. I loved the voice. I mean, it's in the trailer, so you're not getting spoiled. You know, I'm not spoiling anything. But that voice he used was killing me.
Oh, I know.
It was hurting me. This got this little guy talking like this. He's got this deep throaty thing, like he's, you know, taking more than his share.
right.
You
yeah,
know,
he was
it was
great. He
it
totally
was
stole the screen there.
Throaty yeah. voice. You yeah. said throaty voice.
Throaty. Yep. So.
So that the fact that he's making so much money in the gay porn industry,
right.
Justin Long's character, not him himself, has Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks start thinking, you know, their power shut off, the water shut off, that maybe they should make adult films and make money that way.
Yeah, well, their first thought is, well, who'd want to see it? And then it's like, you know, well, all these people, you know, you got this laundry list of people from their high school. Like, who wouldn't want to see, you know, somebody from your high school doing it, you know? So
yeah, the oddity of stuff.
Yeah, so they already figure they've got an installed fan base immediately.
Right. But the thing is that they're best friends. They have been since first grade.
Right.
That they're never been romantically inclined and never fooled around with each other.
Right.
Yeah, they almost find each other repulsive.
So, they go on from there.
And the hijinks ensue. And, God, there were so many hijinks. God damn, this was a funny movie. A
lot of people in this movie. You gotta...
Oh, yeah, there was some really... I mean, the whole supporting
cast. Tracy Lords.
Some regulars from the Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah, Jason Mewes is in there.
Jason Mewes.
Who was, I mean, and not playing Jay and still ridiculously funny.
Oh,
Jay from Jay
great.
And Silent Bob.
Right.
It wasn't him.
He wasn't Jay, but he was awesome.
No, he plays a... What is that?
Lester.
Yeah.
Lester the molester.
I love that. That
was great.
He actually plays P. Jones.
Yeah. Pete Jones. Yep.
That was great.
Now, I heard a lot of people in the theater laughing sometimes when you were laughing, Jeff, but they were laughing at the things in the trailer. And it's like, maybe I've watched the trailer too many times because I've been showing it to people. And
could
ever
be because I've only seen the trailer once, maybe twice. So... You know, it was nice seeing that stuff again, you know?
Yeah. I don't look at it like it's so much funny as that I just like some of the dialogue and I like the situations. And it was adorable.
Yeah.
It was adorable. And that's what I liked best about this movie. You said it was funny. There was funny scenes in it. But overall, I wouldn't call it a funny movie. But it was a good movie. And the best parts were, like Lisa said, the dialogue when people are just sitting around talking.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And that's what Kevin Smith, I think, needs to concentrate on. Forget about trying to be funny. Like one of the first scenes
the
that you were laughing
is,
at.
The
no,
thing
no, 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 no.
Dialogue
listen.
Is funny.
One
though.
Of the first things that you were laughing at
right.
was the little Indian guy in a coffee shop who owns a coffee shop,
right.
and he was cussing, and people were laughing. I'm like, how is that even a little bit funny? I just
it's
didn't get
accent.
It.
That little guy is funny. That little
fun
dude fuel. Is. That little dude is just funny. That little yeah. Indian guy is. He was funny in 40-Year-Old Virgin. He's funny in this one.
I don't remember him 40-Year-Old Virgin.
You don't, oh
sales
my,
dude.
Yeah,
man.
No, he was awesome.
But in this movie, like Lisa was saying, that's not funny. Just because somebody cusses you out, it's not funny.
Yeah. When it's said in a very funny Indian accent, it can be quite funny. Absolutely.
Yeah. I didn't get it. I'm glad he never came back to the movie. I'm sorry if I'm ruining that for people, but. Because he wasn't funny. I mean, I thought maybe he would come back and catch them doing whatever they're doing, but
that's just like
no.
that one joke that y'all told when you went to go see him in Florida, right? About the world's fastest.
The world's fastest Indian?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Oh, my God, I'm going very fast. I mean, that's solid, you know.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's funny. But some Indian guy cussing is not funny. I mean, it depends
yeah,
on what he's saying, but he wasn't saying.
Yeah, it is.
That's just like a... Bubbles, the character Bubbles.
Oh, Tracy Lords.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah.
Yeah, I also had, what's his name, Jeff Anderson from the Clerks movies.
Yeah, yeah, I loved him. It's interesting to see him, how mature he looks.
Was he the camera operator?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one that could suck your own cock, that, you know, and then they brought that joke back up again.
Yeah.
You know, the whole.
But I love this movie. I love the raunchiness. I love the sweetness. I mean, a movie that could be raunchy and sweet at the same time.
That's us.
Yeah.
There was a couple of raunchy things in there that were extremely funny. And you know, it's like something about Mary or even Austin Powers when they had that Scottish guy in there. Raunchy, funny.
Right.
That was great. So a couple of scenes there. But I'm telling you what, if it wasn't for the sweetness that didn't add up fast enough, I was heading for 3 stars with this movie. Because I was like,
Ooh, just 3, huh?
Just 3. Just because it was
that,
just...
That would mean he liked it.
Yeah, it means he liked it. He's being hard on it, but he still liked it.
Yeah.
I love that.
But then the sweetness did come in, and it made for a moving story. And so I'll go up to 4 stars.
Yeah, I know. It's obvious. You know, you're obvious. You know, two people that have been friends forever, you know, all of a sudden start delving in something that's going to end up being very sexual. So then there's a feeling aspect that obviously is going to be dealt with. Anybody going into this movie is going to know, you know, there's going to be that type of thing. And that was handled really, really well. I thought it was great. I think this is his best movie since Chasing Amy.
Hmm. Wow.
I'm serious. I love this movie.
Better than Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which was a funny movie.
Yes, funnier. I recently watched Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Had a ball.
Wow.
And loved it. I mean, and I've loved every movie Kevin Smith has done.
Mallrats?
I liked Mallrats.
Okay.
Mallrats had some very amusing moments. But, you know, all the others. I mean, even Jersey Girl. Jersey Girl.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. The sweetness.
There was a sweet, yeah, exactly. The sweetness and decent dialogue and some interesting, you know, he's always putting up these interesting ideas and notions that you just wouldn't think about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love the, you know, the creativity of it. And, solid, enthusiastic 5 stars. Best since Chasing Amy.
Hmm.
Loved it.
Yeah, I like the baseline of the movie. And I also like, you know, how it...
Wait. Baseline, like bass guitar?
No, bass, like, how do I say this? Like inspirational. Okay. You know, that's all I'm going to say as far as that goes. Because I'll tell you what, I feel like going out and making my own porn movie to pay off some of my debt after this.
Well, since you mentioned baseline and I asked about the guitar, the music here, he does pull out some great music.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. He opens with what? Known as Big Brown Beaver. How awesome is that?
That's fantastic.
That's a way to get you going.
Well,
you
know? I love that.
10-year-old movie. I mean, a 10-year reunion. So you're playing songs from 1998.
I thought that, too.
Pulling out some great songs.
I loved it. Loved it. Yeah.
And
Marcy's Playground.
Yeah, Playground. Sex and Candy. I haven't heard that in ages. So
going through the credits, you know, I tell you all to stay for the credits to the very, very end.
Yeah, that's a must-see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it'll be worth your time.
Yeah. I got it. And yeah, Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks had really decent. They had, in the beginning, they had good friend chemistry, and then they moved on to have really good romantic chemistry.
Mm.
And Elizabeth Banks.
Wait. Huh? You need to rephrase that.
What?
Well, because then that gives away that they had a romance or something.
We already said that we knew they were going to end up together.
I don't think we did.
We already said that we knew they were going to end up with romantic ideas because they're getting into something sexual.
No, you said they were going to have problems. With that.
No, I said they were going to get into something. There were going to be romantic aspects of it.
Are you guys
going to
fight?
I hope so.
No, we're not fighting. I'm just saying that if you did say that, then I would be pulling that out. But you didn't say that. You just said that you knew that there were friends and that it was going to go a certain way and they were going to have problems.
I didn't say problems.
I give this movie 4 stars.
I don't know if I talked over you. You should say that again.
Yeah.
Well, that happens to me all the time, so it's not a big deal. I give this movie 4 stars.
Okay. So we all really liked this movie, and Jeff loved it.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
So it's well worth seeing. My own opinion is it's you don't expect some hilarious comedy, but still a very good movie.
My opinion is expect a hilarious comedy, and you will get one. Thank you.
It's one of the better adult comedies this summer, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Now, when you put it that way... Yes, it's way better than Tropic Thunder, way better than Pineapple Express, a million times better.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not laughing throughout. But it's a great story. I think I could say it's a great story.
Heartfelt.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the moments, there were moments that actually, you know, got to me a little bit. It was great, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Between dick jokes, you know, to actually, you know, make me go, aw, you know? That's awesome.
Yes. Yes, because they do have a friendship there, and there was choked up, tearing, and almost making noise, guttural sounds.
Well, once again, and they were just, once again, two really well-played parts, you know, the two perfectly cast leads.
Justin Long and Brandon Routh.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
You could tell.
I still want to see what happens to these guys' career after.
I know. Yep. Go see it.
Hey, if you want to leave comments about the show, you can email us at podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. Go to our website, thecinemaniacs.com, and we have a poll up. What's your favorite or what movie you're most looking forward to in November? It's coming to an end soon because it is November. You would have already seen the movies, but still, get up there and vote.
Yep. Well, they aren't all coming out November 1st. You know, we've got a few weeks to get in there.
That's true. In fact, none of the November movies are out yet because even Zack and Mary, that's October 31st.
Exactly.
It's Halloween yesterday. And so get up there and vote and email us, podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. And we'll be back next week to talk about Rock and Rolla.
Yeah.
Guy Ritchie's new film's finally out.
What else? And whatever else we see during the week. Sweet.
And with that, have a good night.
Later.
Smoochy boochies. Say what is spacing out. So why don't you shut up, baby? You keep skipping, skipping, skipping. I'm freaking out. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Say what you're spacing out. So why don't you shut up, baby? You keep skipping, skipping, skipping.
Was it the first, second? What is it? The first, right?
The first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool.
And it's episode 40.
The big 40.
Hey, that's ironic.
What do they call it, like a 40-year anniversary?
The quantum? I don't know.
Oh, it should be something we should know.
Cubic zirconia.
The pawn shop gold band.
That's right.
Ruby.
Ruby.
Yes, we should do this Ruby on Tuesday.
A Ruby Tuesday broadcast. Podcast. Ruby Tuesday.
Ruby Tuesday.
We should be
sucks.
Actually doing it at Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah. They kick babies out.
Give us free food.
Yeah.
No, they didn't give us free food.
No. If we were doing our 40th podcast.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah.
You think they would give us free
food? They should give us free food.
You think they would?
No.
I wonder if we could pull that off. Hey, we're doing a podcast. We should see. Oh, that would be awesome.
They're going to look at us like we're nuts. We walk in there with microphones and bullshit.
Absolutely. We want to do little... We want to do our podcast, you know, our live podcast right from your Ruby Tuesdays. And it'll be up in a few weeks.
What location are we at?
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to thank the manager, Stan. Stan's the man, you know.
Love those mini sliders.
Ooh, yeah. Sliderific. That's right.
Where we have some sliders that actually were pretty good.
Oh, that was Fridays.
Yeah, those were good. TGI Fridays.
Mm. What are sliders?
Little hamburgers, White Castle burgers.
Oh.
Sliders, but we don't have really White Castles in Las Vegas.
No.
Hint, hint, Mr. White Castle, President Management.
Oh. Yeah, didn't you get a survey call the other day?
Yes.
Yeah.
They were asking about fast food places to eat at.
Ah.
And then they ran through a list of them, and they mentioned White Castle in that list. Which we don't have here.
That's true. Yeah, I've
but they said fast food burger places, and they included Roy Rogers, which I didn't think was really fast food, and also Arby's. And Arby's doesn't serve burgers.
No. So. But it's still fast food.
But they said fast food burger places, and which ones did I eat at? And I named off about seven of them, the ones I've had in the last 30 days, and I named off seven or eight of them, but they started naming things like Arby's. And, well, that's... like eight or nine places then.
Yeah.
And if you included, I think they even mentioned Subway then.
Well, now that's yeah, that's 10. Definitely not a burger. I mean, Subway and Arby's could fall into a sandwich thing. It's kind of confusing to me. But,
yeah. But happily, well, I shouldn't say happily, but Fatburger was not on their list, so I had to add them to it.
Scumbags.
And they said, hold on, Fatburger. Apparently she's on the East Coast because she also mentioned Hardee's.
Ah, okay.
And we have Carl's Jr. on this side of the country.
Right, right, right.
Same shop, just different name.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like Best Foods and Hellman's.
Mm-hmm.
Pocketbook and purse.
Mm-hmm. Tomato, tomato.
Washing powders.
And laundry detergent.
Yeah.
Okay. Exciting stuff.
I'm watching you talk.
Yeah, but we do that for a while, and then you get aggravated because we've gone on too long. That's when we.
No, I get aggravated if you do it during the show. If you do it before the show, then it's okay.
Ah. Well, what is it that I say that aggravates you so bad?
We do it
I thought
during
I'm
the show. That's,
to talk.
That's entertainment, man.
Yeah. Aren't I supposed to talk during the show?
Yeah, isn't you're supposed to.
Oh, right. I'm supposed to talk about. I'm just your yes man. I'm Robin Quivers. That's what I am.
Definitely not.
I know, Howard. Oh, yeah.
If you recall, when I did listen to that show, I really, really despised Robin Quivers.
Well, I don't want to be Robin Quivers.
Thank goodness.
He doesn't want you to.
Okay. Besides, that last name kills me.
Yeah. You know what's better?
Mm.
Duty.
I love Duty.
I did that just to see the look on your face. He just went, oh, God.
Look at his head. It's red.
That was great.
You're brilliant.
I'm just evil.
Yeah, we know that.
Oh, yeah.